behind. There's a woman on my left and she's drinking champagne.
Hi, everybody. How are you? I'm Dave Congleton. It's 6:07 on the Central Coast. It is Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. Thanks again to John Ashbaugh for coming in. Tomorrow, I'm already getting emails about this. Derek Johnson, a city manager, is going to be here, San Luis Obispo. And we appreciate the fact that the city manager is willing to come in and just kind of give us an update. We're not out to get the guy. This isn't going to be hunt down the city manager. I like Derek. I don't know him that well. He seems to be doing just fine. So we'll talk a little bit about different issues, financial and otherwise, facing the city. We'll have some time for a few phone calls, and that's what it's going to be. All right, that's it. Jim Siebert on Friday, along with our Pie of the Week and Pet of the Week. And we're already working on our shows for next week. Starting tomorrow, I'll let you know what we have planned. All I know is this. We're here weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk KVEC. I also know that we're ready for part 3 of our conversation on guns. On Monday, I gave you a liberal. Yesterday, I gave you a libertarian. Let's hear from a conservative. Always good to have Matt Hoy on this broadcast. His website is restrictedarms.com. He knows guns. He owns a few of them. I've shot a few of them over the years. How are you, sir?
I am doing well.
Were you surprised that I emailed you?
No.
Or is it you just,
that's that,
you just kind of wait? Well,
as much as I like visiting with you, it's like every time one of these things happens, it's like Dave's going to call me. He doesn't want to talk about, you know, the this time you don't want to talk about like all the recycling centers that shut down over the weekend, because the first time you had me on, that's what we talked about. We talked about recycling, and now there's only apparently four places in the county you can recycle your bottles and cans. They'll still charge you at the grocery store when you buy them, though.
When this issue comes up, and I want a conservative point of view, you're the go-to guy.
I'm the go-to guy.
So, I don't know. I've had so many conversations in the last few days on this issue. Let me just start with the general. And I'm looking here at the Washington Post, and just it could be any number of ones, but they have an article that suggests that Congress may be open to doing something about guns because the public outrage this time, Matt, seems to be a bit more vocal. And the NRA, as we have talked about in the past, their influence seems to have weakened a bit.
The NRA is internally in some disarray right now.
Right. And so those factors seem to be coming together. And Trump has even said that there are some things he would support.
Trump's been, you know, wishy-washy on some of this stuff. You know, and I've said this, you know, I did not vote for Trump. Trump, the best thing Trump's done is judges, the judges he's nominated. But, you know, he does not have a solid ideological mooring of any sort, I don't think.
Here's the article. President Trump has repeatedly told lawmakers and aides in private conversations that he is open to endorsing extensive background checks in the wake of two mass shootings, prompting a warning from the NRA and concerns about White House aides, according to lawmakers and administration officials. Trump said, I guess just today, there was a great appetite for background checks in both Dayton and El Paso, and he knows because he visited both places today.
Yeah, the thing is it, after every one of these, there's a cry to do something. Something's got to be done. The truth is that, you know, the three most recent mass shootings, they all passed background checks. So, you know, you go to, I listened to the guy you had in on Monday, the liberal. I listened to Paul. I listened to
Lance.
I listened to William Yanes, who you had on last week.
So before this all went down.
Before the second two went down.
Right.
The numbers two and three went down. And we've got to do something. And it's universal background checks. Again, these people pass background checks. Lance was right in saying we need to enforce the laws we have. We need to hold the government accountable for enforcing those laws. He pointed to the Sutherland Springs shooter, the guy who attacked that church, mm-hmm. who was an Air Force airman who dishonorably discharged for beating his wife and kids. The Air Force should have reported that. He never should have had a gun. The Charleston church shooter was had been charged and was waiting trial on felony drug charges. He should have been in the system and shouldn't have been able to buy a gun. So the system should have caught those two, and there's probably others, and it didn't. I don't think universal background checks are a solution. I think that they can cause more problems than they solve. And I've brought this up to you before. You know, if I've got a friend who owns some handguns and he's going through a tough time, let's say his wife left him or something, and he's looking for a job, that sort of thing, and he's depressed. Yeah. And he says to me, he says, Matt, you know, I've got guns at home in the safe. I'm thinking about, you know, killing myself. I don't want to do that, but I get dark sometimes. Would you take my guns for me and just hold on to them for me? I can't. That's a felony here in California. I can't do that. We can go to a gun shop. He can transfer them to me. It would cost $25 for the first gun and $10 for each gun after that for him to transfer them to me legally. It would take 10 days for me to get them. When he's back on his feet and his mental health is back where it should be, we have to reverse the process and pay all those fees again. It takes another 10 days. If you've got a friend who's, maybe the wife has a husband who's been beating her and she's gotten away from him, but she's afraid that he's going to come after him. Okay, I'd like to loan you a firearm to defend yourself. Can't do it.
Mm. All right, but in light of Gilroy and Dayton and El Paso, mm-hmm. as an American, Matt Hoy, is there anything you want the government to do now as a result of these three incidents?
I think, and I've said it before, and everyone kind of poo-poos the thing, is, you know, we need to look at identifying people who have mental health problems. And some of these, you know, you talk about lone wolves and whatnot. Some of these are known wolves. The guy in Dayton had a list of people he wanted to kill and a list of women he wanted to rape.
Right.
The Parkland shooter had said repeatedly that he was going to be a school shooter. The police knew everything about him. They did not charge him because the school district there, you know, wanted to reduce the crime rate. And they got federal money for it. So they reduced the crime rate by not reporting this kid's crimes. Mm. He should have been. And there's plenty of things they could have done with him to get him in the system so he couldn't buy a gun.
Yeah, so part of it does mean keeping guns out of the hands of these mentally ill young men.
Dangerous, mentally ill young men, certainly.
So you're good with that?
I'm good with that. But the problem is, too often the net is cast way too wide. I listened to all the other guests, and I've got a list of corrections.
Let me take the break. Matt Hoy is here. We're giving him a chance to respond to shows that we've done as we continue the conversation about guns. We'll come back and hear more from Matt. Your phone calls to come. Stick around. I'm Dave Congleton, AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Matt Hoy is here. His website is restrictedarms.com. We are talking about the issue of guns in light of shootings in Gilmore and Dayton and El Paso. Matt has been listening to the other perspectives that we have been sharing with you, and he made a few notes.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see. Let's start. William Yane said that most states ban large or standard capacity magazines. I call them standard capacity because when you buy them, you know, an AR-15 or an AK-47 is designed to have a 30-round magazine. Okay. He said most states ban those. 10 states have magazine limits. California is one of them. Those states either usually limit magazine size to 10 or 15 rounds. 40 states have no limit on magazine sizes.
What should be the limit?
You know, it gets down to, and that was something, you know, when I listened to William Yane's, he knows his stuff. I really do appreciate him because he knows enough about firearms that he knows what he's asking for. Right. He wants to get rid of semi-automatic firearms. I don't agree with him, but he realized that when you say, you know, assault weapons ban, well, that's all cosmetics, and it's really about functionality. It's really about how the firearm functions. So he knows enough to know that, and he's honest about it.
Right.
And I appreciate that. I think you should have as big a magazine as you think you need, frankly.
That could be up to what's the biggest it can go?
I've seen 100-round magazines. The thing about those is they are notoriously finicky because they tend to jam.
They jam.
And really, a 30-round magazine, switching 30-round magazines takes a fraction of a second, and they're much more dependable. And, you know, William talked about getting rid of his semi-automatic firearms, and I've got a bolt-action rifle. To kind of semi-quote one of my favorite shows, Firefly. You ever watch that show?
Yeah.
There's a character in there called named Jane. He's a guy played by Adam Baldwin, and he says, you know, he'll shoot a guy if he wants to start a fair fight. And he doesn't want a fair fight. And when it comes to defending myself, I don't want a fair fight. If someone's, you know, coming into my home, at the very least, I should have what they're likely to have. I don't want to have, and they're likely to have a semi-automatic firearm. I don't want to be limited to a bolt action.
But if you got 30 bullets, isn't it enough to stop a guy?
It's enough to stop a guy.
Right.
Again, you had that case up in Templeton a couple of years ago where 7 people did a home invasion on a party and robbed people with guns.
30 bullets.
If there are 7 guys, that's, you know, we'll do the math, 4 each.
Yeah.
Maybe you miss. Maybe they turn around and run. I don't know.
It's not an exact quote, but the chief of police in Dayton called the weapons that were used by the guy. He said these are not weapons that civilians should have.
I disagree. Again, it's cosmetic. Are you seriously saying that we shouldn't have semi-automatic firearms? These aren't automatics. These are semi-automatics. One trigger pull each time. You had on Tom Cotton last week. Right?
Sam Cotton.
Sam
yeah.
Cotton.
Yeah, yeah. Wild West Show.
Wild West Show. I watched, I was intrigued. I looked up, you know, some videos on YouTube
of
cowboy shooting.
Yeah.
Those guys are going through a revolver, you know, in a second and a half, maybe, all 6 shots, and they're getting them on target. And that's single action revolver.
And I'm not trying to pull you off your talking points. I'll give you time, but I'm just, all these questions come to mind. But isn't this creating the age of the mass shooter, where one young guy can walk in with a gun and kill so many people in 30 seconds? Mm-hmm. Isn't that making the problem worse, Matt?
What's making the problem worse?
Because he's got so many bullets and he can fire so many bullets so quickly. Well, before the cops can get to him,
you can do that.
There are people dead.
You could do that with those single action revolvers. I'd encourage people just, there's a guy named Jerry Michalek. Miculek. He's a professional shooter.
Right.
He's got videos online. He set a world record 20 years ago, I think, with a 6-shot revolver. He put 6 shots on the target, reloaded, fired 6 more shots, and he did that in 2.99 seconds.
Yeah, but he's the world champion. I'm talking about a 19-year-old mentally ill kid.
Well, I don't think if someone practices, I mean, if you're determined, let me. We focus on guns so much, and I think those guns.
Shouldn't we focus on guns as part of this? I'm not saying ban them, but shouldn't we at least consider the weapons that are used?
Well, we can consider the weapons that are used, but again, the thing is, there's 500 million of them out there in this country, and the people who are going to follow the law aren't the criminals, as they've already demonstrated. They're not going to turn in these guns, and so you're going to have William Yanes with a revolver and a bolt action, and he's going to have to defend his home against an invader or something with an AR-15. That's not fair. It's not fair. And William's probably a really good shot, but and he you can do things defensively, but I don't want to be at a disadvantage over somebody who would want to do me harm.
It just begs the question about how much that you need. But what else did you want to respond to?
William said more guns equals more gun deaths. That's false. The murder rate in this country is near an all-time low. The past 20 years, the number of guns in private hands have gone up. The murder rate has gone down. Caller on Monday said you could buy a Tommy gun in Texas and bring it to California with no background check. That's not true.
Can you buy a Tommy gun anywhere?
There are states that allow you to buy fully automatic rifles or handguns. Mm. There are states that allow that. The thing is, you've got to get a $200 tax stamp to do that, and you've got to go through a serious FBI background check. They take your fingerprints. It takes upwards of 9 months. And these guns, because they have to have been registered with the government before 1986, there is a very limited supply of them. They cost upwards of five figures. I checked, the cheapest Tommy gun that I could find for sale was $17,000. And it's illegal to do it and buy it in California. You could not bring it in California legally. Another caller, apparently a retired cop, said in most states assault weapons are outlawed. That is not true.
That's right, Gary.
The following states ban assault weapons: California, Connecticut, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York. That's seven. 43 do not.
So just to clarify, Matt Hoy from RestrictedArms.com, before you go to the news and start taking phone calls, you would put more resources into battling mental health?
Mental health? We can identify, I think, right, a decent proportion of these people.
But you wouldn't change any of the gun laws? You'd leave the guns as they are now?
At the very least, if not repeal some of them and make it easier for people to defend themselves.
Okay. All right. That's the argument. What do you think? We'll find out when we get back. I'm Dave Congleton. You're listening to Hometown Radio. We are in conversation with Matt Hoy. His website is restrictedarms.com. We have heard a number of viewpoints over the tragedies with the shootings in Dayton and El Paso and Gilroy. Tonight we hear from Mr. Hoy, and we hear from you as we invite your phone calls. Let's start with Scott in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Scott.
I just Googled this yesterday. Florida is considering on the ballot a ban on assault semiotic weapons. I don't know how many signatures they got for that, but this is a 2020 thing that they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. I won't be surprised that this will pick up speed for other states to get involved. I wouldn't be surprised if California would consider doing the same thing.
Well, California already has a law banning assault weapons.
You cannot buy the
guy who did the Gilroy shooting. That gun he bought in Nevada, you could not purchase that from any gun dealer or even any private person and go through the required background check here in California and get that gun.
I wasn't aware of that. I thought I wasn't aware of that. Can you clarify with the audience on an AR-15? I just Googled on the AR-15, and on Wikipedia, it says it's not an assault firearm, where the AK-47 is considered an assault firearm.
Right.
Maybe you can just clarify that with everybody.
The difference...
The left is... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the difference with that is an AK-47, the default model of an AK-47 is that it is one trigger pull. It's fully automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Now... You know, lots of guns, and it's kind of loosely used, you know, oh, that's an AK-47. But when it's sold here in the United States, unless it's one of these guns that was registered before 1986 with the federal government, when it's sold here in the United States, it's semi-automatic. So if you just look AK-47, you're going to get the fully automatic, you know, version is what they're going to talk about. With the AR-15, the AR-15 has never been... a fully automatic firearm. It has always been semi-automatic. That's why it's not termed an assault rifle.
Well, the military, they have their own automatic version.
Yeah,
I take that correct.
M16, okay. M4 are the military's version, and they have a selector switch on them that will either have three-round bursts, so you pull the trigger once, it fires off three rounds, or fully automatic where it continues firing until the magazine's empty.
Well, one thing I want to make a comment about, Dave, I don't want to bring up the 3D printed gun, but there was just something I Googled that they are making, based online, that you can make an automatic firearm with a 3D printed device.
But I'm told they're not going to be very efficient, Matt. What do you think?
It depends on how it's being made. The most famous one is that Liberator, which is a single shot, and I would not shoot that thing. It's plastic and it's scary, but they do have 3D printers that are now doing that are printing metal as opposed to plastic. And you know, if you want it, it's illegal as I'll get out in any state in this case to print something that's fully automatic, but you could do it.
All right, Scott, thanks for the call. We go to Ken up in Atascadero on KVEC. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Ken.
This is a great topic, by the way. I just want to put some things in perspective. You know, that these mass shootings are horrible and, you know, gets everybody's attention and everything. But relatively speaking, something like 200 people on average die every year from a mass shooting. And when you consider how many people are actually at least report being saved by having a gun, it's about 100,000. So I think we need to be very careful. And I'm definitely for, like, you know, limiting magazine capacity and some of these assault rifles and stuff like that. But I think we have to be very careful about, you know, saying, oh, guns are bad, we need to have all these laws against guns, when guns actually do save a lot more people than they kill in this country. This is according to an NPR article from 2018.
I'm not familiar with this. So they're claiming that 100,000 people are killed by guns, saved by guns?
Yeah, this is an NPR article from 2018. It says that 100,000 people report not necessarily shooting their assailant, but just maybe brandishing a weapon when there's an intruder and scaring them off, or, you know, a lot of different things like that. But this is based on a telephone survey, and they asked, you know, 1,000 people, whatever, and then they extrapolate out.
Before Matt responds, Ken, so if that's the case, what's your solution to stopping mass shootings? What would you like to see done?
I think California's probably done about as good a job as can be done as far as limiting magazines down to 10 rounds. Background checks, waiting period. You know, we could tighten things up a little bit better with some of the little, the loopholes, you know, where people don't do, the background checks aren't as good as they could be. But for the most part, I don't think there's a whole lot more that we can do out here in California.
Matt, what do you say?
The 100,000 number is probably low by at least a factor of six. That's the other thing is, you know, when you had William Yanes in here with me and we had that 2-hour debate, William and there's lots of people on the pro gun control left who don't see any benefit to having a firearm. You know, William says it repeatedly. You know, he talks about the myth of the good guy with the gun.
Right.
That you're more likely to kill yourself or someone you love with a gun than you are to ever kill someone who's attacking you. And, you know, I pointed out at the time, it's like, well, you don't have to, you know, you're comparing, intimate partner violence with just killing someone who may be attacking you. And as the caller mentioned, you know, sometimes you just need to waive the thing. The CDC, and this came out in the past year or so, the CDC back in the 90s did some telephone surveys of some states on, you know, have you ever used a firearm to defend yourself? And they weeded out cops and security guards, people who it's their profession. And the number that the CDC did when you extrapolate it, and they kept it secret for 20 years until someone came across it, the minimum was 600 and some odd thousand defensive gun uses a year over that three-year period. The maximum was, I think, 1.8 million.
All right. Ken, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate it. We go to Jenny up in Santa Margarita on KVEC. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Thanks for having this forum.
Sure.
It's an important subject, but I'm a little worried that we're getting a little lost in the weeds because I'm old enough to remember an assault weapons ban that was let sunset during, I believe, George W.'s administration.
2004 is when it sunsetted.
So we're back at square one, I guess, 15 years later, and we're still at the same place. And I don't see really any, you know, progress. I think we need to do a buyback. I think we need to get these really awful weapons that destroy people off the street that aren't used for hunting or anything reasonable. This isn't a, you know, I mean, as far as I know, we're not in a Westworld yet situation where we need those kinds of guns to protect ourselves. A simple shotgun or a pistol that's registered, like we have driver's licenses, seems very reasonable to me.
Why is she being unreasonable, Matt?
Well, first off, these AR-15s are used for hunting. People use them to hunt hogs all the time. That's about as big an animal as
you. I have hogs all over my house. I've never used one. And I can tell you, it would rip it apart. You could not eat a hog that you hit with an AK-47. I've lived in Santa Margarita for 42 years. I am somewhat, you know, I know a bit about hogs.
Well, the problem is you don't know a whole lot about AR-15s or AK-47s.
I just know what I hear from the hospitals when they say that they damage bodies so much that they can't repair them.
And here's the thing. An AK-47 or an AR-15 is an intermediate round. It's bigger than most pistol rounds, but it's so small that lots of states won't allow you to hunt deer with them because it's cruel to the deer. It won't kill them. Okay? That has nothing to do with the AR-15.
That doesn't make any sense to me scientifically, but I'm sure you know much more about guns than I do, so I'm really at a deficit. All I can tell you is I have some years to know that this has been a problem. Since my son was in high school during Columbine, he was graduating that same year. He's 38 this year. I don't really know what else to say except that these guns need to be bought back and get off the street. They don't have these problems in other countries. It's our problem, and we need to fix it.
We don't have these problems in other countries.
We have these problems in other countries.
Not to the degree we do here.
Oh, no. Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
Oh, they do.
Really?
You don't hear reporting about it.
Maybe you should check back to your statistics that you...
We don't hear the reporting about mass shootings?
Mass killings in other countries. Let me run something by you.
When they have them, they've made steps, and they don't have them any longer.
You're not going to give me the per capita statistic, are you?
Well, you have to do it per capita.
No.
You have to do it per capita. It's not fair to compare a nation of 330 million people to one of 5 million.
Why not? I never bought the per capita argument.
Well, Well, I'd encourage you to take any economics course then, or statistics course. You've got to do it that way. Otherwise, it's meaningless.
And sir, I think a statistic course would really be in order for you, because I don't think you're understanding the statistics that we've had on the books, even though the NRA has made it nearly impossible to study them by purpose, and they bought all of our politicians. I'm sure you must know that. Yeah. I'm a grandmother. I know these things just from life, you know, and I just really don't know what else to say, but... just go home at night and hug your kids and grandkids, okay? And thanks, Dave, for having this.
Jenny, always good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. So let's try this way. And hold on the calls for a second. Who's got the second most amount of shootings in the world?
Here are the annual death rate for mass public shootings comparing U.S. and Canada from January 2009 to December 2015. So that's a six-year period.
Right.
Okay? These numbers are a little old. The death rate per million people for mass public shootings, number one. You want to take a guess? And it's because of per capita, Dave, that they're number one.
Norway.
You are correct. It is Norway. What's number two? You got the list now.
Serbia.
Though. Serbia.
Okay.
Where's the U.S. on that chart that Mr. Craig Hill so helpfully handed to you?
We have number 11.
We are number 11. This happens in other countries. And the thing is...
Now answer my question.
Okay.
How many mass shootings is that based on in Norway?
It's based on three, I think.
Okay. So...
including one that was that Andres Breivik one where
sure,
he...
an extreme case.
It's an extreme case.
Okay. And Macedonia, Albania, Slovakia...
Switzerland. Finland.
Okay.
They're all higher than us.
Right. But that's the per capita. I'm talking about the number of mass shootings that we have had in this country.
It's more because we're if you want to compare, you know, apples to apples, you'd have to compare us to Europe as a whole.
Well, in France, for example, I wonder how much of that would have been through terrorism.
It is. A lot of it in France is terrorism.
All right. So
not all of it, but a lot of it.
Okay. So, but I'm just asking a simple question. Like in Switzerland, how many mass shootings have they had?
Oh, I'd have to look. It's on there somewhere.
We can make a rhetorical question.
Well, the thing is you like to, you know, they like to say it doesn't happen in other countries, and it's true we have more. We have quite a few shootings here, but in other countries they also, because they restrict guns so much, they have more bombings than we have.
Right.
Can you imagine having more Boston Marathon or, you know, Timothy McVeigh style bombings?
Mike, I promise I'll get to you in a second, but at the same time, there's an article in the paper just today that other countries around the world are telling their citizens not to come to this country.
Yeah, which countries?
Japan.
No. Venezuela was one of them.
Yeah, Venezuela, but there's also Japan.
Venezuela's a joke.
England, France, all right? They're warning their tourists that they cannot guarantee that they're going to be safe in this country. We shouldn't be concerned about that?
You're as safe here as you are in most of those countries.
We got a Mike in Morro Bay on KVEC. Hi, Mike.
David, Craig, Matt.
Mike?
Matt, I will have to agree with you 100%. And I think the whole world should. And okay, but these people keep calling on, you know, take this away, take this away. Okay, they make a law against it. You know who's going to have the gun, the power? It's the bad guy. You're going to have nothing. You're just going to be standing there with absolutely nothing. So we can't be taking our protection away, whether we need it or not.
So what's your solution? Silly. Mike, what's your solution?
And we're talking about deaths. I'd like to go a little further with all this. And then you said your friend, if one time... your friend calls you up, he goes, I'm feeling very suicidal, and, you know, could you please come and take my guns? And if you took his guns, then that would be against some sort of law California has made, you know, which they've made too many as it is.
Yes.
At that point, I personally would just take all the firing pins out of those guns until he did come around and put them back dealer for him. But anyway.
That's a possible solution.
So, Mike, what would you do to solve the issue?
What's this?
To solve the problem of mass shootings?
Well, I wouldn't worry about the guns. I would start taking care of our people like we need to. I mean, the creek, San Luis Obispo Creek, is full from point to point with homeless people. Start taking care of our people. And you're just you're just creating more nuts out there. Now you want to take away all this, take away and keep taking away, and pretty soon, you might as well just be like a puppet on a stick. And I like to live in this world, and I only get to live a short time, and I want to be able to live without having all these restrictions for saying I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. I mean, they don't even want you, when a woman walks by and she's a good-looking woman, you say, hey, damn, you look good. Okay. Well, that might be something wrong.
All right, Mike, thank you.
I will say this, and you've asked callers for solutions.
Yeah.
And back when I was guest hosting for you, when you were out, I did several hours on mental health and the resources we have here in San Luis Obispo. I think the government's money would go a lot further and would help a lot more people and would make a bigger dent in this problem if we focused on spending money on helping the mentally ill than gun buybacks. And I hate that term because I didn't buy my gun from the government. It's not. It's gun confiscation.
We go to Phil on KVEC. Hi, Phil.
Hi there, Dave.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. So I've listened to your three guests.
What do you think?
I think maybe we need. We're looking at this all wrong. We need to go back maybe to 20, 30, maybe 30, 40 years and see what the difference was, because we had about the same amount of guns per capita as we do now, back 30 years ago with the population. And we didn't have a lot of these shootings. So what has changed? I think a lot of things has changed is social media, where people cannot interact with individuals anymore. Kids don't interact. We're looking at kids that are probably, you know, we're talking, a lot of these people are youth and they're 18 to 20 area. Not a lot of social skills. A lot of these people sound like that. We need to get people back engaged with talking to people again. And, you know, when we grew up, we went to the park, we played, we had the boys club, we went out in the girls club, and we all played together and had games and we worked together. But it seems like we've taken away a lot of that, and all we have is politicians, radio hosts, and news agencies screaming that it's some politician or it's some political power or it's some political this person. It's all the fault.
All right, let's get a response. All right, Phil, thank you. Matt, you want to comment?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before. You know, we've gotten more guns over the years, and we've got more mass shootings, but we've got fewer murders overall. So there's something creating these mass shootings. You know, again, you go into, you know, if you take the guns away, I'm not sure if you heard about this. Did you hear about the Kyoto animation?
A little bit.
This was a case in Japan. Again, they don't have very many guns in Japan. And so what happens? Some guy uses a firebomb and kills 35 people at a Kyoto animation studio. There's silence over here. If the guy used a gun... there would have been wall-to-wall coverage like there was in New Zealand.
No, I heard about it. All right, thank you, Phil. Oh, let's take Mike in Los Osos. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Mike.
Your last caller nailed it, as far as I'm concerned. I grew up in the Valley, son of sheep ranchers, lived in Fresno, and you could go into any house, and us kids were running around from house to house. There were guns everywhere. There weren't any gun safes. There were loaded guns everywhere. People weren't shooting each other. In school, people were fist fighting. Okay. Then knives came along, and then fast forward late 90s, I had a guy come into my house and try to blow my head off. Okay. The police came. They brought out the CSI unit, whatever. They took pictures of all the bullets, all the bullet holes. Barely missed my head. I'm lucky to be alive.
How'd you defend yourself? How'd you defend yourself?
I had knowledge that he carried a gun. I knew the guy. I had knowledge that he carried guns, but I also had always told him that I didn't need guns, that I would fight. So, like a dummy, I opened my door for him. He got mad, and he reached in his waistband, and I took off as fast as I could, and I ran, and I got out of the back of the house. He blew the wall out by my head.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was horrible. But at the same time, you know, I should have known better. He was into gangster rap and this and that. Yeah. He had a dispute and whatever. Well, the cops let him out. Cops let him out within 3 hours. He was threatening me. That's when I actually went and bought a firearm. Legally, I had to wait. I forget how long I had to wait that time when I did it. But just because of self-protection, I was panicked and whatever. And he ended up blowing. They let him out. He blew a guy's head off 3 months later. And he served 7 years in prison because the guy had come to his house and punched him in the face.
I got to let you go, Mike. I got 10 seconds for a quick reaction.
Yeah, they shouldn't let the guy out after, you know, 3 hours.
All right. Mike, thank you. We'll get a final thought from Matt Hoy. I'm Dave Congleton.
Lee65.
Check out Matt Hoy's website at restrictedarms.com. 20 seconds for a final thought, sir.
We aren't going to solve this by restricting guns. Criminals who want to use them to do evil are going to use them to do evil. We're better off having people who are good people with concealed carry licenses and focusing on mental illness so it doesn't get to the point where they're shooting up Walmarts.
Thank you, Matt, or anywhere. Thank you, Craig Hill. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow, 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Oliver, get out of my chair. I'm coming home.